All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, happy to be welcoming on an individual who has an intriguing flyweight fight going down November the 13th. Leanna Jojoua getting out there and testing skills with Courtney Casey and welcoming Courtney back onto the show. How's the day going so far there, Courtney?
So far, so good. A little busy this morning, but just have one more practice and then I'll be done for the day.
Yeah, I imagine training time gets pretty hectic when you're in such close proximity to the fight and also the family obligations and stuff like that. A lot of juggling things around, I would guess, right?
Yeah, definitely have to manage my time wisely, that's for sure.
Seem like you're pretty good at the time management, though, and stuff like that. I mean, based on the fact you're getting in that good work and stuff like that. And I'm curious, like, where you're specifically getting in work, because it seems like MMA Lab is where you're really sharpening the skills at this point. Is that kind of the main base of operations ahead of this one?
Back at the MMA Lab, and then I still work with my Muay Thai coaches over at Golden Era, and then, of course, my strength and conditioning coach, Joe Cooperman, over at Legendary Athletics, and I work with Tim Welch over at his gym, doing jiu-jitsu, as well as Tequino Mendez. I got a great group of people around me, and just happy to, you know, have all the training partners and all the coaches that I need for this fight.
Yeah, that's cool to hear, because last time we were talking, you mentioned a lot of the, like, garage work with the Golden Era Muay Thai individuals and stuff like that, so it seems like you're taking the best from kind of that camp there, and then also getting in the MMA Lab work there. And I saw an interview where you were saying you got in a little bit of work with Sugar Sean O'Malley. Is that like a relatively new individual you've been getting in work with there?
No, I've been training with him for about 4 years now.
Oh, cool.
But I do a lot more of my jiu-jitsu and stuff with him over at Tim Welch's Academy.
Yeah, and I saw the Mario Bautista picture you were posting there, and just, yeah, getting in some great work ahead of this one and everything. And just, yeah, I mean, curious about this coming fight here, just in the sense of there being the prior kind of cancellation. August was kind of the targeted point there. Is there a level of utility to getting to kind of game plan additionally for your opponent, or was it kind of a deflating sort of thing? Like, how would you characterize the bout falling through initially?
It was more financially deflating than anything. Camps are expensive. They're not cheap. And then, you know, you still got to pay your coaches regardless if you fight or not. So, it's just more deflating when it comes to that. But, as far as like training wise, I mean, we're training all the time. You just got to kind of step back from like camp training, then just regular maintenance training, and then back into camp. So it was just long. More than anything, but, you know, beneficial for sure, knowing, you know, who our opponent was. We were happy that we didn't get an opponent change, and we could just move forward with camp. Took some time off and then just, you know, got right back into it.
That's fair. So, like, what aspect of this matchup intrigues you to the point where you wanted it to stay together? Is it like a stylistic kind of consideration, or why did you want the Jojoua matchup to kind of stay locked in there?
It wasn't necessarily that I wanted it to. It was just the fact that it was, you know, it was either going to be the same opponent or we could possibly just get a short notice fight. And, you know, with my record as it is right now, it's not something that I wanted to have to do, is take a short notice fight against someone where I wouldn't be able to prepare properly. So I was just more happy that I was able to, you know, keep the same opponent and have, you know, still a decent amount of time to train for.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't seem like you've admittedly had the best luck with that, because last time we were talking was ahead of that targeted Priscilla Cachoeira fight that kind of fell by the wayside last Halloween there. Is there like a way to, I guess, supplement the income there with like the, because you mentioned there's like a financial dent that comes with that. Is there a way to supplement that in any kind of way, or perhaps not so much? You kind of just have to take it on the chin in a certain sense.
Yeah, you definitely just got to take it on the chin, you know. Again, you got to plan for those kind of things to happen. It sucks when you don't know when your next paycheck's going to come. So, you just really got to, you know, make smart financial decisions and things like that. And, you know, plan for the worst, but hope for the best at the same time.
And I was especially curious to get your thoughts on this because, I mean, very curious. Like, the judges seem to, I don't know, for whatever reason, not seem to see it in your favor for whatever reason, even though the broader viewing public, you know, oftentimes with your fights seems to kind of see it like that. And with, you know, certain commissions utilizing that open scoring now and whatnot, like, is that something you would like to see? Like, would that create a compounded sense of like, okay, this is what the judges are looking for. I did a lot of this in this certain round and it, you know, got me the nod, as it were. Like, what are your thoughts on open scoring? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I'd absolutely be interested in it. I mean, knowing, like, we don't know what the judges are scoring. Like, obviously, you know, they have, like, their 5 points of scoring, but we don't know what they're really scoring on. We're not told if it's the striking, if it's the cage control, if it's the damage, you know, if it's the top position. Like, we have no idea how the judges are scoring it. And lately, it seems like they don't really know either. So it'd be nice to kind of know, like, going into the third round where you're sitting. But do I think the UFC is going to adapt to that and do that? I don't know.
I was going to say, would it be a thing of like wanting to maybe get future fights in, you know, Kansas or certain commissions that would facilitate the open scoring? Because I know you're very much enjoying like the UFC Apex. I mean, one of the times we were talking, you were saying you kind of like the, I guess, intimate dynamics with it, more true to like the ethos of martial arts almost. So like, what are your thoughts on all of that? Is there a certain like maybe location preference based kind of thing that could pop up in the future just to kind of try that on the open scoring, see what it's like?
I mean, if the UFC goes to Kansas, I mean, I guess they're going to have to, but I don't think they've ever gone to Kansas. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the only state that has the open scoring, right?
Yeah, I believe so. That's the only one doing it now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, they haven't gone to Kansas from what I know, so I don't foresee them going to Kansas anytime soon, especially because Dana has kind of been open about how he doesn't like it. He thinks that it causes boring fights, and I can see where he sees that, but I think the people that are going to have boring fights, they're going to do boring fights whether their judges are open scoring or not.
Yeah, for sure. I just imagine probably anecdotally for you a bit frustrating just because like you've, you know, been a high level soccer player, like UTEP for a number of years there. And there's like a very defined like, okay, I kicked it in the net. We got a point there. Everything's all good. Like it seems more nebulous in MMA for sure.
Yeah, definitely for sure. It's easier to know when you win those games than, you know, going into a fight thinking that you won, you know, and coaches think you won, and then after the fight it's called the other way, and you know, then all the fans are saying you won, and at the end of the day it's still a loss on your record and you just kind of got to deal with it.
Yeah, but I mentioned the, you know, experience with soccer and everything like that, and I was noticing that the little one was getting involved in that a little bit, King Close getting out there and the big goal celebration on the social media there. Like, I mean, how does that make you feel? I imagine there's a lot of pride and enthusiasm with all that on your end as well.
Yeah, for sure. I love that he enjoys it. He so far has always wanted to go to practice and always go to the games, even though, you know, he gets frustrated at times and doesn't want to play the whole game. But for the most part, you know, he's having fun. He's getting to interact with other kids and things like that. And, you know, we definitely practiced the celebration of the goals. So I was happy that he did his forward roll that time. We're still working on the airplane, though. But yeah, you know, it's fun watching him get out there and do his thing.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. And then I'd also seen that you were getting him into some early childhood music education there and stuff like that. Is that something you noticed that he was drawn to there? Because previous time we were talking, you were saying Drakkar is kind of like drawn to the music and stuff like that a fair bit. Like, is that something you noticed in King as well there?
It was more so, I learn differently, you know. I'm not someone who just wants to sit in a classroom and learn, so I thought it was just another way to have more fun with learning. You build habits a lot easier when you're doing activities and things like that. So, you know, having, you know, Drakkar having a music background in his family and things like that, it was just something that we kind of agreed on, and it was a new program that was built, and so we were just happy to kind of, you know, be the first part of that. And you know, King seems to be enjoying it. He likes to go to school and do those things, so yeah, it's working out in his favor for sure, and in ours as well.
yeah, it looks like an awesome time for sure, and that's great for that kind of period in their life, like the music and the neuroplasticity at the time and all that. But just in talking about Drakkar there, I was seeing the James Lynch interview you'd done, and it seemed like the timeline for Drakkar getting back to training was kind of trending around early November, if things were kind of going in line with like the pattern that had already been sort of established there. So is that still looking like the case, like Drakkar getting back to certain contact training in the next little bit?
Yeah, he was back. He was back for a very, very brief time, and then he got injured. He actually had a fight set up for December, and he, you know, I think it was like the first 2 weeks back, and he ended up getting hurt again. So he's out for a while with a knee injury, so required surgery and things like that. So I don't think he's looking to return until hopefully early next year or mid next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's frustrating for sure. I imagine he's appreciative of the fact that you kind of understand that lifestyle and having somebody, you know, like that in the home dynamic that can help through what I imagine would be a hugely frustrating sort of setback in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, the past couple of years for us with injuries and fights falling out and things like that, it's been frustrating, but we get through it, and we always try to see the bright side of things and just move forward and, you know, work in the areas that we can, you know, still work on and grow on. And, you know, he's doing his physical therapy, he's getting stronger and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes those injuries happen because you need time off, and sometimes they happen because it's just bad luck. So we take it in stride, and we just keep trucking forward.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to look at it there. And it seems like you both are very positive, even how you curate your social media. Like, I never seem to see anything negative. It's just a lot of fun. And, you know, you guys getting out there to the pumpkin patch and all that, it's just always feel good quality stuff, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, we live a pretty simple, happy life. You know, we have our ups and downs, but for the most part, like, it's a normal every day for us to be out and hanging out with our son and training and doing things like that. So things are pretty simple.
Yeah, I thought it was fun you had the chickens at the house there too. That was another thing I learned from the James Lynch interview. Apparently they'd been there for, you know, a couple years and stuff like that. That's kind of cool and everything like that. So yeah, just like the fresh eggs steadily there and whatnot.
Yep. We have four chickens. We got them, I think, the first Christmas we were in the house, we ended up getting them around Christmas time. They wanted chickens, and we ended up getting chickens, and King wanted a hamster just a couple weeks ago, so Dre showed up with a hamster, and he absolutely cannot stand hamsters or rodents of any kind, so it's more of a King and I kind of thing when it comes to the hamster. But yeah, I mean, we're just kind of instilling, you know, how you have to take care of your animals and the things that you have in your house, you know, with King at a young age. He helps, those are part of his chores is to feed the chickens and water the chickens and get the eggs out. And same with his hamster, you know, we take the hamster outside and have him have playtime out there so he can free roam a little bit and things like that. So yeah, it's nice to have the pets in the family.
Yeah, it seems like a fun time for sure. But I'm curious, because like past times I've talked about, you know, your thoughts on your opponents and whatnot, it seemed like the familiarity was, you know, largely from being a fan of the sport and actively following it. Like, what have you seen with, you know, your upcoming opponent, Leanna Jojua, and everything like that? Like, what are your thoughts on her, I guess, stylistic proclivities and all that?
Stylistically, you know, she's a pretty game fighter. She's fought some good girls. She's good on the ground, and her striking's, you know, a little bit different, but she's pretty accurate with her striking as well. She's shorter, but she's definitely, you know, a thicker girl. So, you know, we're gonna stick to our game plan as best as we can, and hopefully we can execute the game plan and get the job done. Definitely trying to get it finished, you know, within those three rounds, because it doesn't seem like I have the go with the judges when it goes the distance. So yeah, I mean, other than that, I really don't see, I mean, she's in the UFC for a reason. You know, she wasn't given any easy fights coming, you know, coming up into the UFC or anything like that. So you know, her fight with Moran Maverick was, you know, tough, but at the same time, you know, she went in there and she didn't want to quit. So, you know, you got to give her that.
Yeah, absolutely. And been great getting to talk to you and everything like that. Always like getting insights ahead of your different fights and everything like that. But in wanting to be mindful of your presumably busy schedule, you got a lot of things you're juggling and everything. So just in being mindful of that, is there anything you might want to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, Courtney?
No, not really. You asked a lot of good questions.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that, and I think a lot of people are going to appreciate this fight coming up here, which can be checked out. UFC Fight Night, November 13th, flyweight affair on the preliminary portion with Leanna Jojua and Courtney Casey testing skills. And yeah, just great getting insights, and thanks for coming on the show. You enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm looking forward to checking out the fight there.
Yeah, thank you for having me.